February 28th, 2010, it's a Lot from Pedro show.
Innocent and wise, Snarge howled back and thought, two of what? Bark, arf and woof, it's time to park spark marks. You'll never trip over your bowl forever, boy, without any scarf. So careful, hairful, what an ungodly cheerful. Broken splinters may really light razor arcs, as unloosed werewolves self-scoop in the parks, under hoary lunar landscapes, to curl and scare you, rippingly cold, all bone torrents of nightly might are rude, rash assailants of blithe quote and deadly aims, crying, "I am the monitor, invisible but never unseen. Where is your soul? Your aura's gone green. You shiver like a future meal, curdle and mule. Why are you out here? Rocks don't know, so are cruel. Sutured slices of firmament unscroll from the welkin as anti-personnel transgressions undo your only spell. Then, woe. Sing aloud and unface them proud. Rebite your lupine foes. Snap off and jam up their snouts with soiled and frost-bitten toes. You must redesign their sinister spines into kindlier, keener molds of unduly lap-worn and currying until lick-sworn as truculent toads, a gristle on the road, some hoard-up bloat, leftovers to goad, so proud and untimely ignite the torch black of fingering night. Your retribution is a back-snapped, flashed swivel shot of delight. Listen, I'm hair, I glisten, I'm still here, I hear and am aware. Oh. Warm your careworn, age-scrawled and useless hands beneath the simmering carcass of revenge, the twirling unplanned. There's a shift, a swift karmic uplift, swelled parasites and bile yet spilled, a yellowing fever snivels, its shadow moon drilled and shriven, as the very spoil climbs out in coils and unwraps its lunge, slithering around the pedestal, around every muffled crunch. It eats its way brainward, devouring art and dog refrains alike. A clinging, virile, viral spiral unleashed to consume all after sight, until all you are left growling smells not of today's victory, nor of a meal, nor of your hard-earned respite, but of sparkly naiads and fuzzing nymphs, clad in water worn with the flora and fauna of all smells, singing, deftly squirming out your mangy story, and then emptying itself into the hills.
Watt from Pedro Show, last day of February, 2010. Brother Matt, how are you?
Hello, excellent. Everything is good.
Day after big earthquake in Chile.
Yeah, big earthquake, wow, rainstorm, man. Mudslides.
Right, and there's been a pounding. I was pedaling at Royal Palms, and it's a wash.
Yeah, beach erosion.
Yeah, a Cabrillo. I mean, there's like maybe 2 feet.
Yeah,
foot.
Right up to the lifeguard building.
And so maybe a combination of things. It's sad about people got killed and hurt down there. But it's probably one of the strongest ones, they said, in 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows something for building codes. A lot
yeah,
more people could
yeah,
have been hurt.
Yeah, right. Like here, I guess, because of this Land's End and erosion, Long Beach earthquake, 32. And you couldn't build without reinforced brick anymore after that. Because brick slide. Oh, we started the show out with John Coltrane doing Say It Over and Over Again. And then Christopher Scroger reading some poetry. That Snarge, the band dog. Christopher Scroger there in Austin, Texas. He's also a painter. And does music as Agnes Stank or something. Which kind of makes me think of our guests. You guys would come up with a name like Agnes Stank.
We got a full house today.
Yeah, kind of trip. We have some guests of a former Pedro guy, but wishes to come back. Mr. Joe Boone.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's the second time on the show. Right. And you brought some buddies, Joe. You want to introduce them?
Sal Espana and James Ellis.
Right. And Sal Espana, James Ellis, both right. Formerly of San Pedro, too.
Yes.
And so we have a lot of prodigals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James still presently, huh?
Oh, that's right. You stayed. Your brother.
Yeah, he bailed.
But you stayed.
Both brothers bailed.
Did you ever leave for a while? Or did
no,
you
I'm
like what?
Yeah, I can't. I'm like a boomerang. I keep coming back.
Are you born here, though?
Technically, Temple City, well, L.A. Temple City was six yeah. months in, and we moved. I took a trip to Marineland.
Where the heck's Temple City?
He took a trip to Marineland, and they said, hey, I like it here, let's move. All right. Joe Boone, actually.
You're not Napa, though.
I was born in San Pedro.
So you're Pedro after the you guys.
I was born at the San Pedro Peninsula Hospital.
You gotta watch you putting shit on this table.
Yeah. That's right.
Push full informant.
Because your brother D Boone born in Napa, and I guess your grandma was living there, right?
Right.
And but in between there's a Bakersfield.
Bakersfield. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. But I guess from Bakersfield they come to Pedro and then you're born. Okay.
Didn't you move to
Bakersfield?
No, I was born here, and then we moved to Bakersfield.
Then
we came back.
Then back to Pedro. Okay, right. I got it. This is like before I was even, when I was still in Virginia.
You know where the Vons is up on Western?
Sure.
There used to be
Park Western.
There used to be apartments there. We lived there. That's where I was born. And then we moved to Bakersfield, and then we came back, and then we lived on Walken Street.
It was part of the Navy housing, a really old Second War. And then they built some of the estates. I went from Navy housing to there, and that's how I met Joe.
Right,
and
we lived where you lived before they became the new estates,
which are just cracker boxes.
They called it the new projects, right?
But
new apartments.
Yours were very old. They were from the Second War.
Yeah,
Kinderbox. Ours were more like late '60s, early '70s cracker boxes, stucco. But it was fortunate because one side of it bordered Peck Park, and I was walking through there, and D. Boone was, who was the cat who lived on the corner battery? Cervantes Eskimo. What was his name? A really cool guy.
Cervantes. There's Cervantes right there. What was his name? Richard Cervantes or something like that?
But his nickname was Eskimo.
Yeah,
because that's the guy D. Boone was looking for. He's playing with some guys, and he goes, you're not Eskimo. So, I remember the guy at school, and he was a really cool guy.
What's his name? Richard? I know his last name was Cervantes.
We're talking.
He had a sister named,
40
I believe
years
it was like
ago.
Nancy Cervantes, yeah. I think. Yeah, if I remember right.
He was an author, right?
Cervantes, Miguel.
Mm-hmm. Miguel, old soldier. Mm-hmm. He wrote Don Quixote.
Yeah.
I was in La Mancha. On the 400th, a couple years ago, it was the 400th anniversary of that book. It's called The First Modern Novel.
I heard they had printed up like extra thousands of copies and just handed them out all through Spain.
Wow.
There was actually there's two volumes. And like he gets famous between, so he writes the second volume, a famous writer. But they're both pretty much parodies. They're comedies, if you really know how to read them, making fun of them. Kind of courtly love, highfalutin
chivalry
style. Dante, I guess, was kind of guilty of courtly love and stuff like this. He was he had an interesting life. He was a slave for a number of years, 7-8 years. Some Venetian renegade or something. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, back to the. The thing, Sal, were you born in Pedro?
I was not born in Pedro. Born in Lakewood. Came to Pedro just shy of my second birthday.
Near Long Beach, for you people. Actually, I had one of the first West Coast track homes at the McDonnell Douglas factory.
Yeah.
I used to read meters. Mm. And I'm like, whoa, this is kind of like Navy housing. Mm. But it was civilian, kind of. And only 2 years?
I was just shy of my second birthday.
Then came to Pedro.
Came to Pedro.
But then you got out, you went to school in San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, Cal Poly, 86.
And then you stayed up there. Yeah, yeah.
And I still make road trips back.
Right. And Joe Boone, a little hitch in the military with the Air Force and the Army.
Mm-hmm. A couple inches.
Out of Pedro kind of young.
Right.
18. Right after high school. And you're in Pico Rivera now.
Right.
But you're hoping to get...
Back to Pedro.
Right. Because his work was closer to there. And,
had a house up there.
Closer.
Yeah.
To Pedro. But it's good to have you here again. And James, you guys all 3 months high school. What San Pedro High, what class?
I was 78.
78?
79.
Brother Matt?
80.
80. I'm 76. Okay. People in Georgia. Oh. 76. You guys met in high school.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I met...
You live three blocks away from me.
Three blocks away. But I'm trying to remember if I knew Dave first or if I knew
you knew Dave for my brother.
Dave's in my class.
Yeah. We all met in junior high, actually.
I met you in seventh grade.
James in seventh grade, yeah.
Okay. Because the north part of Pedro, we went to Dotson.
Yeah, as a Dana kid.
Junior high, not Dana like most of these... This part of Pedro.
That's where I met Mike, was at Dotson. The video production class.
Yeah, that's right. Something with the theater.
Yeah.
The spotlights.
Reel-to-reel VHS tapes. That was pretty archaic.
I didn't even get to use those much. I was more on... I remember the spotlight was a big thing for me. That was intense. And I got to do lights for a play. I can't remember what the name of the play was. I think I blew some clams, too. You know, this is supposed to be blue here and red here. And you got a big board. Where did I see a board? Oh, Tuesday. I went up. This is something weird for me. I went, took the JetBlue from Long Beach to Oakland to see Plastic Ono Band.
Oh, cool.
77 years old.
Wow, wee.
And she had no SoCal gig. I thought maybe this is the only time I'm going to get to see her. And a lot of my buddies are in her new version of the Plastic Ono Band. Deerhoof opened up. They were fucking incredible. But it's at the Fox Theater, this theater they renovated in Oakland, downtown Oakland. And they had the board. I've seen it one at the Warner, too. Mm. The old resistance boards, you know, the light boards were these huge things that would take up your whole bulkhead here.
Wow.
And all these big levers. And well, Dotson had, like, not the old, you know, 30s, 20s kind of version, but in a way, you didn't have really the servos and stuff, digital ways of controlling lights and stuff like that. You were actually moving in different kind of load trips. Still, I remember the big handles. And that school was built in the 60s, I think, Dotson.
Yeah. And those were big levers.
Yeah, but you should have seen these babies at the Fox, you know, man. And at the Warner, too.
Yeah.
That is a big ass kind of things. It was a trip. They had some of the lights. They have, you know, them. You know, if you've been to Grauman's Chinese Theater up Hollywood Boulevard, and you see these weird kind of, or the Egyptian across the street, you know,
those
these
old
weird
school
kind
theaters.
Of pagan things that they worked into the Art Deco era and stuff. Well, they have two big, I don't know, they're kind of Hindi, what do you call them, deity or something? Things, and the eyes all lit up. Pretty amazing. But the sound, these things were built, you know, for acoustic and theater. So electric things don't, you know, it's kind of weird for bands with the bass, guitar, and kick drums. But she was good, man, for 77 and doing that style, that kind of Johnny Rotten comedy. A lot of people, actually. And it was a good gig. I went with Richard fucking Monty.
Cool.
We were in the rain for 2-3 hours walking around downtown Oakland. There, part of the thing of getting this theater together is to rejuvenate. That's a beat downtown.
Got a lot of cool old buildings down there, though.
Fixing up. Big time. It's right next to Berkeley.
You just had a ride in Berkeley.
That's right. I was right by there because of the BART. Talking about when the BART guy shot the man?
No, they had one just this weekend with, I think, fee hikes or something. Berkeley,
Oh, right, at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about the town. But there was some incident at a BART. A man was shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, New Year's.
But I came back and, I've been very busy. Thursday I do a tour, 8 gigs with friends of mine from Tokyo called Light. They've never been to this part of the U.S. We'll be here in K-Town Friday. Anyway, getting back to you guys, you met Dotson. Did you, what brought you three together? Was it music?
Originally, it was music. I met Joe through Todd.
Right.
And, Todd Apperson, who's Todd? Not with us here. He's living in Las Vegas?
He's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Former Reactionaries guitarist.
Yeah. In the tail end days of the Reactionaries, Dick Boone brought Todd over. He wanted to kind of make exit. So it was the smooth thing going. Todd was an excellent musician, and there were some other cats too, right?
Originally, three of us got a song. I actually got a song on Dr. Demento.
Be
Off Deluxe.
Who's that guy that he ended up making a recording with?
Brian Wells.
Brian Wells. Okay, but you three guys first before.
Yeah, we first with Uwe Baymeyer, because he owned a reel-to-reel recorder.
Right. See, these guys are a little younger than me, so I don't know their circle so much.
Let's see. Yeah,
we actually had a Bebop Deluxe cover that was on Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento was a show on the Sundays where they played shit like Weird Al Yankovic.
He got me into Zappa a long time ago.
Yeah,
anything Mother funny people. That yeah. Dr. Demento would
Zappa,
play.
Harry Parts, a lot of wax.
And some stuff, was really old. Who was the guy with the piano?
Tom Lehrer.
He played a lot of him. You guys submitted a song, huh?
Yeah, Vinny the Hippo about our German teacher at Peter Hart.
Right in that little drawer.
Vinny Buchanan, yes.
No, we couldn't use his full name because of legal rights. So.
You made a joke about one of your teachers.
Yes. To the tune of a Bebop Deluxe song.
That guy died in his classroom.
No, he didn't die in his classroom. He didn't show up for work, and they went to his house and found him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Maybe the story evolved where he died in the classroom, but he died peacefully at home. But
not peacefully, because three kids made a fucking song.
Hey, this was before he died. He was alive to hear it.
Killed him.
Okay.
So yeah, then it evolved from there.
So what happened? Like, you're at school. Hey, you know how to play? Yeah, I know how to play.
Yeah.
Let's go over to your house and play.
Yeah.
So that was like
pretty
that.
Much it. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe plays drums. Todd plays guitar. I played keyboards.
Yeah.
And then Yui had
the real to reel.
It wasn't in music school or class or anything like that.
No.
Just hanging out.
Todd and I were just trying to trace back how we met each other, and I think he was in Mr. Luna's class as a non-player.
Mr. Luna was the music.
I played trombone for 3 years in his class.
Yeah, I played trumpet. And
I tried clarinet for 10 weeks. He booted it.
I did trumpet, but I couldn't breathe through my nose, recirculate the air, and breathe properly, so I had to jump out of the trumpet seat after a couple of weeks.
I should have visited him again. Hey, guess what I do for a living?
Mr. Luna's no longer with us.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I heard several years ago he passed.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he was kind of an older guy then.
Yeah, but good spirit.
Yeah.
Turned on a lot of people to music.
But not me. He said I should let it go. Start wasting everyone's time or something creative like that. No, he's a good guy. I mean, I tried hard. It was tough. I wanted to do saxophone like 30 other people's. Getting the clarinet. Clarinet actually was a pretty neat instrument. But
you played clarinet?
So I was all very traumatized by experience. Never took a music class again. But I did the school of D-Boone. And your ma, Joe, put me on the bass, so... Lucky for that. But Mr. Luna, yeah, I should be grateful. Really. Yeah, I think you have to take blows. How do you get calluses, right? Not if you're gentle.
Yeah.
You need some toughness. So thanks for the tough love, Mr. Luna. Big tough love. Okay, so he's got the... Huey Baymeyer's got the recorder, so you went over his pad.
Yeah, we were at Todd's house when we did the recording, right?
In
his living room, right?
Yeah, we probably...
We did some stuff in your house.
I had a piano at my house, so anytime we needed a piano, we went down to my living room, and eventually the band started living in my living room.
Wow.
Which my mom was very generous. Didn't kick anybody out.
No, that was very cool.
Yeah, and there wasn't a drum set involved right away, so that was nice. But, it worked from there, then... You bailed. I guess you graduated high school and took off.
Yeah.
No, but before high school ended, did you ever do music besides the one Dr. Demento song?
We did. Well, we did stuff, and then through Todd and everybody, we brought Richard in.
Yeah. And time frame. We should talk about the time frame.
Time frame. Let's see.
It's like high school.
Actually. Oh, no, but high school.
77.
Yeah.
77, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 78, around there, and then.
So the punk thing was starting to happen because Todd knew about Ramones early.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, we would sit around and Todd was in his bedroom and
Spin magazine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In fact, he's one of the first cats probably playing their records that I knew in Pedro. Yeah.
Well, Tom used to live at Redwood Records.
Yeah, he did.
So we had a record store called Redwood. Cool spot. Not a chain.
Rod and Russell.
There was two of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not really a chain.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't part of the Licorice Pizza or the warehouse. It was a...
an actual independent record store.
Yeah. There were, actually, before that, me and Joe know part of Western Chuck Sound of Music.
Chuck Sound of Music, that's what
that
we
also everything. Sold instruments,
mm-hmm. Right.
Not
that's
just
how,
records.
That's how we got into it.
That's why I bought my first bass for $100. That's why I first saw a bass. And strippy, big strings.
And we all took lessons there. You took lessons, too.
Well, Roy Lopez, kind of remember the cat who lived in his, Roy Mendez Lopez, he lived in his car.
Yeah, with his wife and his baby. It's Volkswagen Bug with his wife.
So you hooked up with him a year or so ago.
I called him on the phone. He's living in San Diego.
Yeah, I took lessons there for a while. And, with some kind of
yeah, you actually... But he, I remember he started teaching us, like, just outside of the thing. But that's how we met him. Well, I met him through... The boom was already... Your ma had him going on the lessons. And probably same time as you and the drums.
Well, we first started taking lessons at the Oddfellows Temple. They had lessons down there.
Yeah, Terry Gaffney.
Yeah, and then they had like an orchestra and everything. And I remember Dennis, he played Ramblin' Rose and they played some songs.
Because that's what she played.
Yeah, and I took lessons there too on guitar, but I was like, nah, I want to play drums. I wanted to be like Ringo. So I
got
stopped the lessons. And then I got a snare drum with the cymbal.
Yeah,
and then if we
the cymbal was too loud, so what we had to use was the stand that held the TV, and you would
hit that
leg.
Remember, you guys used to buy these like there was these like World War II books. Remember those books?
Little book that you put on the snare for like kick drum.
Yeah, and that was like my tom kick drum thing. Yeah, I would have two sounds.
The cymbal was really too loud, so we had to use the little metal stand that held the TV, and he would like hi hat sound.
Yeah,
you know, we were in a bedroom, and the amps were very tiny. I think we got them up at Thrifty. Tiny little things we had to put on the dresser.
Yeah.
And they were like so tiny sounds, so you couldn't play very loud. Then I remember you getting a drum set.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, a Revell set. Red Sparkle.
Way too loud.
Hey, but remember then we met Daniel Salvador, and he had a good amplifier.
Because
yeah.
From a slide guitar, a Hawaiian slide.
Yeah. I remember him doing smoke on water on
he
slide.
He did that for hours.
It was hardcore.
And that's how he got in the band, because he had the big amp, and D. Boone actually got to use it.
Yeah, it was a two-channel, right? You could play two guitars.
And then he got kind of put on one of the tiny amps, and D. Boone got to jam through it. I remember then, we moved up in amps, but Joe's ma was so into us playing after school, you know. She didn't mind the noise and all that, and it was really...
No, she would come up every once in a while and tell us to turn it off or turn it down.
Never off.
Yeah.
Never off, because she wanted us playing.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like to be a great band or anything, but just something to do. And that'd be... what was the big threat? Go to the Harbor Lake?
Yeah.
Where they found the dead body? That was always the threat. Not threat, but ominous. Yeah. The foreboding was... They found some dead body at Harbor Lake.
Hey.
You don't want to be one of them. You know, so stay in the pad after school and jam it out.
Do you remember the next door neighbors? They got us into Black Sabbath. They were like two like older... they must have been in their 20s, those two guys.
Well, the guy next to me in the States, Dennis Alba, played me Black Sabbath.
No, but the dudes, like, they lived right next door to us. Like, you know, because there was a quadplex. And they handed me and Dennis, like, I think it was Paranoid. They go, hey, learn these songs.
Yeah.
And that's how
actually,
that's how we got into it.
He brought me into his... No, I turned D. Boone on a lot. When I met you guys, he didn't know any rock and roll.
No, just Creedence Clearwater Revival.
All he knew was Creedence.
Yeah, and you got...
But he knew a lot of Creedence. And you'd see the records on the floor without the cover. Remember the grape juice on Bayou Country? Because the record players were like these, you know, pertinent or closing play things. The speaker,
you
little
had to put
plastic
like
things in.
Quarters and pennies on so the things wouldn't slip. But you would come over and just wreck our room, man. We had like all these Mad magazines, and he would like just like read them and throw them across the room. And he'd come over every day after school.
Well, I saw the condition
every day after
of
school.
The pad, and I thought, well, this is how you deal with it.
No.
I remember you and D. Boo getting in the fight in that mandolin in the sleeping sack, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Crunch, a nice pot belly.
No, we made me. Talking, me and Dennis would wrestle out in front
because of that. Speaking of mandolin, you know, I haven't played it in a long, long time since he showed me the chords and all that. And last summer I was in Tokyo. I did an album with Jim O'Rourke. This Jim wants me to do overdubs using mandolin. I've never recorded a mandolin, so it's a new thing. But it goes back to those days. Roy Mendez Lopez built his own instruments. Got deep boom so into flamenco, just everything.
They played some gigs at Old Town Mall. Remember that?
That's right.
They had, like,
Old Town Mall was a big deal.
That was a big deal back then.
On Friday nights. His pop would bring us up there to
the model store. We'd go hang at the model
just
store.
Just everywhere, just walking around. It was like, man, what's this about? And then we'd also see late movies there.
No, that was at the Delamo. We'd see the Delamo Mall, we'd see the movies, yeah.
Yeah, kind of connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Five.
Dr. Five, oh yeah, yeah.
And that's also a lot of Strand and Warner Theater.
Right.
Horror movies, mm-hmm. You'd see these things.
Yeah, but the mall was, yeah.
With all the slide whistles and get... in trouble and stuff like that for making noise. Yeah, because it was just... Yeah, you kind of... Who would go to movies with makes noise and shit like this?
We did.
Kind of a bum rush, you know? You know, the movie ain't good enough. We're going to help and support.
A little sound effects.
Yeah. We also, speaking of the Mad Magazines, we made kind of radio plays.
Yeah.
Versions
we did The Exorcist and McLeod. That was the great. We put like Black Sabbath on in the background. Remember the McLeod one? It would skip. We put my dad's Hank Williams record on. It would skip.
All of them skip, man. We'd have to put so much money on the tone arm of those record players.
Yeah.
Fishing weight, boat anchor.
Yeah,
but getting back to you guys,
where were we?
Well, George, Joe in the service and... you went to Slowtown.
Well, it was before Slowtown. We did Thailand after the Joe, me and Todd band. Then Joe left, and it was me, right. Todd, Richard, Brian, and Calvin Beach.
Yeah.
And we did the Thailand thing for a while.
Okay.
And then I left, and then I went up to Cal Poly.
Right.
Before then, I started taking electronic music classes at Harvard College.
Yeah, Rod Oaks.
Rod Oaks, Dr. Rod Oaks, guy. And that's where James and I really started working together.
Who was into Sabotnik.
Yeah.
This guy
was very hip, very with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott Cousin.
Not old school.
Yeah.
Right on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm. Perez, Harry Potter.
Wendy Carlos.
Pierre Schaefer.
He was way into all this stuff and using synths. And James, you got into the electronic music.
That's what I got into. I think a lot of it had to do with seeing Keith Emerson, like, 77 saying, oh, I like this. And then I got into Walter Carlos and Tomita and, you know, it's...
Oh, Tomita, yeah.
It's been crazy ever since. They're all kinds of
Klaus
stuff.
Klaus
Schulze. Tangerine Dream.
Tangerine Dream, right.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And he turned us on to all these. Plus, he had, I don't know if you were ever in the studio over there, a nice modular Moog synthesizer, two of them.
We were in that studio once... Frank Taichi got us in there when the Minutemen just started and he did three songs. One of them was one of the songs you wrote, Joe Boone.
Futures and Restated, yeah.
First time me and Joe Boone ever recorded in the studio, and we were so kind of foaming it up, we didn't notice the shit. Well, we'd never been in a studio. It was a trip for us. But we were in that thing. I heard about it later, that he had a big modular...
He had the big Emu in there and the Moog Model 12. He had two Model 12 Moogs in there and a mini Moog.
Yeah, and then the Emu, just the huge wall thing.
And I was telling him, the Emu broke down. And I said, I'll buy it broken. Just let me buy it. I'll fix it. And the school sold it to somebody else. And I was so pissed.
Oh, damn. This Harvard College.
This thing was an amazing instrument. It was fun.
What happened to Dr. Oaks?
He's still living in those condos that took over the Crest.
But is he teaching anymore?
No, he retired.
Okay. He retired.
I think he does little stints where he'll go and, like, do a lecture now and then, but he's still traveling Eastern Europe and Russia.
Yeah, yeah. He's
in a band, Ogogo, with
Ogogo,
Igor.
Right.
Another. Is Igor Peter?
Also, he turned. I can't remember his name, but Carl Stone used to be on KPFK, and he was into that stuff. And he still tours around and plays avant-garde music. There was a show on KPFK on late Friday nights called Tesseract, and they would play this stuff. That was, Hot Hood and Deutsche Grammophon and the strange labels and stuff you wouldn't find on the KMET or the KLOS. What was the Long Beach one?
Candy City.
Ron McCoy. Remember him? He would introduce the Blue Oyster Cult. Good buddies of theirs. But, so, James, you got into electronic music because you kept going. You had a divergent path, so you got into comedy.
I got into comedy years later because James and I started working in 85 doing music. Pretty much I'd be driving up and back from St. Louis. And then about 8 years ago, I started doing stand-up comedy for just no reason other than
it seemed
like a good idea at the time. Actually, the final thing that made me do it is when Chuck Sands passed away, because I'd known Chuck since kindergarten. And when he died... I had one of those moments where it's like, do it. You never know when you're going to get a chance. You may never get the chance. And so 2 weeks later, there was an open mic in St. Louis, and I went up there and did it. And I've been doing it.
Have you ever done it in Pedro?
Never done it in Pedro.
Okay.
No, they had a comedy show running briefly in Pedro, and it disappeared. And I forgot to turn my cell phone off before I started this interview.
Wow.
So that's the happy tunes of my cell phone. So,
there's the music entertainment.
Intro, yeah. Yeah. Intro to the
because I want to play music. Some music from
now on the BBC. We present. And it'll end just about cue fade.
Wow, it just stopped. What about this floating face up?
Oh, that...
Where's this from?
That's from Esoteric Knowledge, our third CD that we finished.
I believe it's our third.
Third CD, and I actually...
What year?
You got the sheet over there. Brother Matt's got the sheet with the...
Yeah, the dates.
So that you don't
the
remember.
The bottom of your thumb is. There's a,
it's all a blur these days, you know?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We recorded it over a period of years, and then we started compiling things.
This is in 2000, so this ain't that old.
No.
I mean, relatively speaking.
The earliest one on there is Radio Moscow's first thing James and I worked on together back in 85, 86?
85, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when we decided, hey, we were
that must be Pink Floyd.
It's very close to Pink Floyd, but it was actually, we were out on a walk, a little hike in San Luis Obispo up in the hills, and we came up this clearing, and we look in this grassland area, and it's just full of cows.
Wow.
And they were blocking the view.
Yeah, blocking the view of right. Whatever, and it's obscured
that's
by cows.
The title. Okay, nothing to do with Pink Floyd, I'm sorry. Kobayashi Maru, Eiko-san's last name is Kobayashi. Huh. Means old woods.
Oh, is that what that means?
Okay. But I want to play Floating Face Up because that's kind of a Pedro trip.
The way we got up that title was...
Esoteric Knowledge
radio,
is the name
it?
Of the band.
Of the
who was in it?
Yeah.
James, Sal?
Me and James.
It's yeah, just us.
Twofer.
Yeah. Just two of us.
Okay,
yeah.
Here you go. Walk Pedro Show. Thank you.
got high last night on LSD. My mind was beautiful and I was free. Warts love my nipples because they are pink. Vomit on me, baby, yeah, yeah, yeah. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he is blind. It's a wreck because he is blind. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind. Let's make love under the stars and watch for UFOs. If little baby Martians come out of the UFOs, it's up in, yeah, yeah, yeah. The zebra spilled his plastinia on Venus, and the gelatin fingers ooze electric marbles. Ramona's titties died in hell, and the Nazis want to kill everyone. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind.
Show. We started that chunk of music out with something from National Debt, which is a duet with Sal Espana, James House. Floating Face Up. And then we heard Don't Taunt a Tiger by Sloth Bear, The Lowest of the Low by Elias Kahn. Blind Man's Penis by John Truby. Oh God, I Feel Like Shit by Little Theodore. And I Gotta Make a Decision by Tri-City Thundercats. This John Truby song, you know about this, Blind Man's Penis?
Never
okay, he, John Truby's kind of a kind of comedy mixed with music cat. He would work well with the Dr. Demento kind of vibe. But there was this ad he saw on the back of a magazine, like in Nashville, this company. If you send him the lyrics, hey, we'll make a song for you. So he thought, yeah, right. So he tries to think of the most fucked up things about eating hell and, you know, going off puking and having out of mind shit. But I think that the dude, it's some guy, you know, with the narrow haggard voice and you know, some kind of stock country music on one side, and then this guy, you know, putting those words, putting magic in, that makes words more than words and lyric. And the only thing he changed was Stevie Wonder's dick or something. He turned to Blind Man's Penis. So that's what he called the song. And so it's not really John Truby, actually. It's some unknown.
Inspired by.
Mill. Song mill. And but you guys didn't do it that way.
No, we didn't do it that way. We're a band in the box, but a completely different box.
Float the Face Up, the title.
title.
The title actually came up. Sal and I were just doing some live recording in my back room, and we decided just, I don't know what, we just plugged in the news radio, like KNX or something like that.
Yeah, one of the local AM stations.
And it's when KNX used to do the live feed or old radio, stuff on. And this part came up where the narrator was reading, he was found in a bathtub floating face up.
Yeah.
And so it was on the original tape, but it was kind of distorted. Yeah. So he said, well, we can't really use this because it came in too loud and really distorted and fucked up everything. So he said, well, we'll keep the title and we'll redo it. So that's how the floating face up came, just from the old movie radio or radio theater. We're both playing synthesizer.
Same one.
Both hands
are on the same machine.
Yeah,
we were doing a thing, triggering a MIDI keyboard with the drum machine by randomly hitting these pads.
Assign
different notes.
Yeah. It's just a trigger, and that way we don't look at it as black keys and white keys.
We look at it as
drum pads, and wonder what this pattern will do.
Great. I want to get more into you guys as a. Adventure music like that, but we're at the end of the first hour. February 28th, no leap year, so it's the last day of 2010. On for Peter Show, hold tight for hour two. February 28th, 2010, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh,
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Thin from a band, Florida band called Snore. And then something for you, Joe Boone, a drum solo. It's untitled. But it's great avant-garde experimental drummer from Japan named Shoji Hano. And then Open This Box from Gravity of the Situation. Bass player Cat Long Beach is his little side project. And then Wishbomb for George Engel. A band called Teco Sasso, a new band, and Devin Huff.
Cool.
Devin. Nils Klein, bass player. He's got a band now in Chicago. His lady's on drums, and he's playing guitar. So, yeah, wow. Another bass player moves to guitar. So much treason. Okay.
Yeah, he was a pretty innovative bass player, too.
He's incredible.
And stuff,
remember, he played
on
my first 50th birthday.
Yeah.
He wants to do a bass thing with me.
Cool.
Duet.
Neat.
Kind of a pseudo-dose.
Mm-hmm.
Not pseudo, but another take on that. Devin, great cat. Great cat. Lives in Chi-Town now. So, when's the last time Joe Boone, Sal, James, you guys played together?
It's
76? 76 for you and me. 77, around there.
1976. It was a little while ago.
Yeah, before he went off and joined the Air Force. And
he ain't played with him in all that time.
No. And it's,
so we're about to do a spin cycle with Brother Matt here, and it's kind of a reunion.
Yeah, cool.
And what, when you did that 1976 jam, what was it called?
The band was called ITZ.
ITZ?
After the Monty Python.
ITZ?
ITZ.
So it's kind of an ITZ reunion?
Well, except now we're calling it National Debt because James and I are National Debt.
Yeah, I'm just a stunt projectionist.
Stunt side mouse.
A ringer.
Stunt pod.
Ringer.
Stunt pad man.
Stunt cock.
We need a man who can beat his skins, and nobody beats him like Joe.
I can dig it. We forgot to talk about Joe Boone actually did music after the military. And you still do, right? You play at the
church. Yeah.
Plays at the church. Still does his drums and
cool.
stuff. So
percussion.
He didn't let it go to waste. Plays to trap kit.
Trap kit.
Congas.
Yeah, congas.
Percussion.
Bongos.
Yeah. Right.
It just depends on like if it what feast.
And maybe last year, almost I gave you a bass guitar.
Yeah, you gave me bass.
So he's been playing bass guitar.
Cool.
So, not like doing that military stuff. Cleared out all
no
those
marching
music
band
things.
No,
the
no,
music's
heck
still
no,
there.
Heck no, yeah.
And but right now we get to reunite you with your ITZ brothers in a new National Debt manifestation.
Very cool.
And so, Brother Matt, you want to take us away?
Here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Matt.
Cool. Thank you, everybody.
Inspiration for your
just trying to lay down little beds for them to work on.
That's okay. A little bed for them to work on.
Yeah, it would have been better if we would have went analog, no? Through the logic. Because I remember when we were playing the other day, it was like right on.
Yeah, because
I was going through
the interface doesn't have the latency.
His, was it the firebox? I was going straight through the firebox into there. And
it's okay, Joe. You would have still had to go through to play to him.
We're no rehearsal having any idea.
Are we on pause?
No, we're talking.
We're right rolling, now. Okay.
I thought it was pretty good. It's just feel good to reunite.
Yeah, that was fun.
With the musical teamwork. I'm glad to have been able to help that along.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a blast. Thank you, Mike.
No problem. Watch from Pedro Show. That was Trans Pedro Express by National Debt, which is...
Who are we again?
Who are we? We're National Debt.
Yeah.
Sal Espagna.
James Ellis.
And maybe Joe Boone.
Maybe Joe Boone. Yeah. And past Bill Gessman.
Bill Gessman was on that track.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Mr. Fun.
Hence the title, maybe some Kraftwerk influence.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, Joe. Get it going.
I'm going to get one of those rolling pads. I'm telling you. You got to see this.
Cool new toy.
Get a drum set.
Yeah. You've been to Germany. You know how to, you know, Kraftwerk.
I think they got, they got drum sets now that are total, their whole sets of MIDI.
No, I know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can play with headphones on.
Yeah, papers don't even hear you.
Yeah. Nobody gets bummed.
Yeah, nobody calls the police.
It's good. And you know, I'll tell you one good thing about them. Very easy to tune. This song's in C. Wow. And the whole drum set goes to C.
Right.
It's very interesting that way. I mean, of course, analog, natural instruments are always going to have their place, but there's trippy things about electronics. And
I like them because you just have a variety of instruments that you can choose from, you know? Mm.
And I mean, you can do keyboard stuff on a drum set.
That's because of the sampling and stuff. Actually, electronic music comes from an analog world. Before they could, like this Juno here is probably using some FM or...
It's on a very early FM.
Well, synthesis, which is like combined, using number algorithms to get the word. But I think we should thank people like Dr. Oakes.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Rod.
Right, and his legacy lives through you guys.
And many other people. There's a bunch of people who went through his program.
We're at the end of the second hour, February 28, 2010, Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. February 28, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. I got here. I got a segment that somebody sent me from Taiwan. A lady named Miss Pin, or likes to be called Pinhead. This is like the Pinhead from Asia segment. And she's found a bunch of music from her part of the world and going to turn us on via the Watt from Pedro Show here.
Bitchin'.
So take it, Miss Pin.
Hello and welcome. It's my great honor to have this opportunity to share some of my favorite Asian music with you guys. Oh, first, yeah, self-introduction, okay. I am Pin. You can call me Pinhead if you want to, Pin or Pinhead. And where I'm from Taiwan. Don't meet by self-introduction. And, we will go through the basic rundown of today's radio section with me. First, I'll start with two of my personal favorite Japanese indie bands. That will be Bachikaburi and YBO2. And later, I will introduce two Taiwanese folk songs, both written by the legendary Taiwanese singer, the late Mr. Hong, Hong Yifeng Xianxian. Actually, Mr. Hong just passed away recently on February 24th, so may he rest in peace. Then, I would like to briefly mention my music project, and maybe I could play some excerpt from the improvisation section I did with my drummer, Mr. Shaw, back in 2008. But before that, I'd like to play a song by Li Jianhong. Mr. Li Jianhong is this amazing, amazing guitar noise master from China. He's a great musician and a great influence of mine, so it would be my honor to play his song right before my song. And I will wrap up the show with the theme song of one of my favorite Japanese movies called Koroshi no Rakuin. The English title is Branded to Kill. I know some of you have already known this film, especially if you're a big film buff and a big fan of film noir. And if you love jazz, you'll love the soundtrack as well. I know you will. So now, first thing first, it's time to listen to Bachikaburi. Oh! Machika Bully. You can find this song in their greatest hit album, Nagomu Collections. Well, yeah, it's a tough call for me to choose just one of my favorite bands from this Japanese indie punk or new wave movement in late 70s to early 80s. I'm definitely a big fan of bands like Jakatala, Aplatako, or Majutakos in Nu, and of course The Starling, Friction, Lizard, and several of Yamazaki Harumi's musical projects. Anyway, the leader of Machika Bully, singer Taguchi Tomoro, you've probably seen him before. He is also the main actor in this crazy cult film, Tetsuo the Iron Man, directed by Shinya Tsukamoto. The next song is America by YBO2. America is the first song in their debut album, Alienation, released in 1986, featuring YBO2's original lineup. That is leader Kitamura Masashi on bass and vocals, KK Nao on guitar, and Yoshida Tatsuya on drums. It's a scary lineup because you have this crazy noise guitar and change some drum beats. And you have mastermind Kitamura that incorporates ideas of post-structuralism and post-modernism into their music. That makes YBO2 quite unique in its own way. Something very funny about this song is that if you're Japanese, then you'd be very familiar with the drum part. But if you're Americans, you will be too familiar with the lyrics. Really? You'll see.
listening to is a Taiwanese folk song called Super Alone. In English, the song title could be translated as The One Whom I Miss. This version is derived from the film Fallen Angel by Hong Kong movie director Wong Kar-wai, Wang Jia-wei. I must say, nothing is more surreal than hearing a Taiwanese folk song played in a Hong Kong film, especially in a dark, strange piece like Fallen Angel. This is a special section dedicated to Taiwanese legendary singer-songwriter Mr. Hong Hong Yifeng先生, who passed away on February 24th, just a couple days ago. And the song you're listening to now is Su Wo Elang, The One Whom I Miss. What I like about this song is that it teaches me that a good old love song will always find stories and characters once it is sung and heard. I've heard just too many stories related to this song ever since childhood, but they're just stories with unnamed characters happening around me. Then I heard it in the film Fallen Angel, which is just too surreal. The first time seeing Fallen Angel was a long time ago. I remember in junior high school years, I spent all my pocket money renting comics and videos. I never knew what is art house cinema or indie films or whatever. At that time, all I knew is that there are movies that I know what they're about, and there are movies that I have no idea what they're about. And you gotta rent it and watch it to find it out. And yeah, these are films, and they're just like songs. There could be stories with unnamed characters and stories happening around me. And it seems all these best stories and best songs are always like that, isn't it? And next, I have another Taiwanese folk song, Gu Jing Mi Mi, also written and sung by Mr. Hong. How do you translate the title, Gu Jing Mi Mi, the old unforgettable love, probably something like that. The song was so popular in the late 50s in Taiwan, so in 1962, a romance film adaptation of the song was released, and unsurprisingly, it features Mr. Hong as the main character of the film. The song bears all characteristics of Taiwanese folk songs in the 50s and 60s. It's a slow pace with strong emotions and melancholic low and bluesy voice, just like Su Wo Elang. song by Li Jianhong, the first track of his solo album, Niao, Bird, released under his own label, 2P Records 耳皮唱片. Nowadays, you can easily find some of Li's best works, and they're released by well-known labels like PSF, Archive, and UTech Records. What I like about Li Jianhong's guitar is that it portrays great sonic spatial sublime, and it's all done with very simple gear setting and production. In this side of the world, musicians like Li are usually one-man army. Everything from cover design to mastering, we'll have to do it all by ourselves. Well, you learn a lot and you suffer a lot, and I guess it'd be no fun without suffering. I learned a lot from Li. We have some mutual friends, and our impression of Li is always like, he's actually very funny and very friendly, and he talks about aliens and Chinese ghosts and monsters all the time, so Li Jianhong is an awesome noise guitar master, and he's definitely the best friend of all unidentified flying objects. Well, now it's time to talk about this improvisation I did with Mr. Shower. Shower is the drummer of Taiwanese indie band called Goodbye Now. Goodbye Now was formed in October 2005, and the name Now refers to this retired Japanese porn star called Nao Saejima. So they were saying goodbye to Nao. We met in 2008 and we decided to do a random jamming section together. So the first time we met was in the rehearsal space doing this jamming, and of course we never jammed or rehearsed before. We used very discreet recording equipment and could not find a bass player to play with us at that time. Originally, my idea was to record harsh noise with my guitar while Shao was just doing some random drumming. At that time, I just started working on the Chinese translation of Hichou Kaitan's story, so I was quite obsessed with all this crazy Kansai noise, anti-aesthetic aesthetics. Anyway, I remember some of my gear was not working well that day, so I ended up just playing whatever I could play. And it turned out to be okay, I guess. At least we have a lot of fun. And when I produced that song, I added two different drum tracks that I already did that day just to make it sound spacious. Since we don't have bass players, so I guess it's the best way to make it sound good. I must say that I enjoy listening to his drumming more than my own guitar. So Shower, you are awesome, and this is for you.
こ前の殺し屋は香水の匂いがした。
でっかい指輪をはめてるな。
安かねえんだ。
安心しろ、そいつには当てねえよ。
曲がったネクタイを気にして死んだ。寝ぼけ顔の殺し屋は寒そうに震えてた。
女を抱いてきたのか。
当たり気よ。
湯たんぽを抱きな。
熱いなまりを抱いて死んだ。
The last song is Colossian Blues, Killing Blues. It's a theme song of Branded to Kill, and it's probably one of the best films by director Seijun Suzuki. I like everything about this film, from the narrative, the story, the dialogues, the action, to the atmosphere and the music, everything. The reason I played this song is simply because I've been listening to the soundtrack recently every day. Okay, I guess that'll be the end of this very special radio section. I'm Pin, I'm from Taiwan. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all.
From Pedro Show. Thank you, Miss Pin, or Pinhead, like she likes to be called. What's the original Pinhead?
Zippy.
You know this movie? No, that's a cartoon from.
Oh, that was the movie
early
Freaks.
70s. Sorry. Yeah, there was a movie in the
Freaks.
30s.
It's actually a derogatory term.
And Schnitzy. It's called a massa.
Some Latin word.
Yeah, your head's too small.
Yeah.
Lefia. And he's like a 4 foot tall guy. He ended up living until he was like 70 or something. But I think that's where the word came from. Yeah, it's a pejorative. It's not very nice. Actually, the comic, Bill Griffith,
I think, is the
comic man.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy ain't really a pinhead. He's just wearing a clown suit and a funny haircut, or lack of hair.
No, he's a pinhead.
Not really.
He's
pinhead. It's actually
he's more like a conehead, sort of.
Smaller. It's just some kind of condition, some genetic. Masalephia.
Terrible.
Somebody get the Wikipedia going.
Where's
but,
Wikipedia?
Yeah, of course, there's it's online, of course. Ramon's song.
Yeah.
It's the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the guy come out with a sign. Gabba gabba. And get this, when I saw Deerhoof open for. Yoko Ono, Plastic Ono Band, they did that song.
Yeah.
It's like one of the last songs you think Deerhoof would play. First time I saw him with the two guitars. So good, that band. Wow. Intense drummer. He was playing with some big-ass hot, like Doug Clifford, CCR style. Maybe they weren't hi-hat things, but they were like, they had to be 16s or 18s.
Ride cymbals.
Got some swish going. And then, for the first time he ever tried, because Greg's always played minimal kind of thing with just snare, kick, and one cymbal. Mm-hmm. And so he added another snare over here where the tom is, and took the snare off. So it was
kind of the guy is such a wailing drummer. Yeah, big respect to him. Sal, James, Joe, about music. Didn't really get into what got you into wanting to play it. Is it from going to gigs? Or did you start playing before you saw gigs?
Kind of both, really.
About the same time.
Yeah.
You discovered back then.
You discovered.
Okay, so what kind of music from AM to FM?
What kind of music people were you into? We're talking what, middle 70s?
Yeah, middle 70s. Yeah, 77, 70. Yeah.
First rock album I bought was Queen, Sheer Heart Attack. I went from AM KHJ, switched over to FM, heard Killer Queen, and said, oh my God, this is so much better than that crap on AM. Mm-hmm. So I bought that, and then got into, through Todd, met a lot of great bands through Todd.
Well, my older brother got me into all the, you know, all the Black Sabbath, the Led Zeppelins, your Deep Purples and everything, but... I kind of, you know, I caught on Emerson, Lake and Palmer and all your early bands like Yes and the early Genesis stuff. But then the minute I heard Sex Pistols, I says, it's all over. So, you know, I've kind of opened up. It opened a lot of doors. So I listened to a lot of different stuff.
Bebop Deluxe, Gentle Giant.
Mm-hmm. Gentle Giant, big. Yeah.
You were into them, right, Joe?
Gentle Giant, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
70s?
Your music thing, though, is kind of doing it in a half. Have you done gigs?
Live on the radio gigs up in San Luis Obispo. That's
pretty our problem's been kind of, we fit the music in our busy schedules. The 101 freeway's been our artery to keep it going.
Conduit?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we only get together for 2 days in a row and you got to just make the best of it.
Yeah, right.
We've invented a lot of stuff just looking for sounds and then ended up redoing them and having a complete composed piece.
No,
and other times we've just done stuff and said it.
The point I'm trying to make is I don't think all music experiences have to be gigs. I think it's totally valid to just record music.
Invention. Right.
You know what I mean? So some people, what I'm saying is, like, some people might be at home listening and, oh man, I got nobody I can do gigs with. But I don't think that should stop you from getting into music. I think you can still do music.
Especially the technology today.
Right, right. Yeah, it's easier than ever. More econo. And why not just make stuff at home?
Just essentially what I've been doing since, I say, the later part of 1983.
Yeah. It's just getting it out there is the hard part, because gigs are the best way to do that.
What about internet?
Well, we're on the internet. NaturalDeadMusic.com.
Okay.
And
what? N-A-T?
N-A-T-I-O-N-L, I-O-N-A-L-D-E-B-T, music, M-U-S-I-C.com. All one word, National Debt Music.
NaturalDeadMusic.com. So people can go out there and hear some more of their stuff. I mean, we're going to play some more in a little bit.
Yeah. But, we're on iTunes also.
E-Music, Amazon.
Joe, didn't we do something that got released?
Who? Me and you? You? What do you mean? We did
a tribute record.
No, we did the tribute record. That's right. It was me and Tony. We did Sickles and Hammers.
Sickles and Hammers.
I had like bongos and a cymbal.
And that's your like recording.
Yeah, that's my claim to fame.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did bongos and cymbals at the practice band.
Is it moving?
We never recorded since then.
Nope.
Yeah, so I would definitely suggest you get together with these National Debt guys. And, of course, anytime you want to play with me, too. It'll be fine.
Anytime you want to play with us.
I was in a practice band a couple months ago, and
it was good.
We were working on that trippy pattern, right?
Yeah, I gave it to James, too.
Yeah, I got it.
You got that pattern?
Yeah, I put it in there. And I was jamming on it with two ukulele the other night.
And just chopping. It was kind of like a little twisted it around by putting the kick
I put it in my MIDI program, and after having it there, then I go, okay, I got it now, you know.
You got it.
I can hear it, yeah.
Towards the end of that track, I thought we got it.
Yeah.
But anything that's kind of new is a little tough. Time before that, we wailed for a few hours. Joe got his hands
all blistered up and stuff. Yeah.
Got blisters on my fingers.
There's one thing about drums, kind of physical. Kind of physical. You know, have you spoken with Todd lately? Todd Apperson was very key in the early days for you guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I stayed in touch with him on like Facebook and whatnot and email. And he just recently bought like a, or he's getting a bass and a keyboard. And he's got some four track.
He's doing music.
Tape recorder that he's going to start working with. So
maybe we'll good.
Get some stuff good. Back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Everybody thinks maybe music started in Pedro with Reactionaries. Not true. Reactionaries might have been the first punk band, but there was music going on, like with you guys.
Second story. Battery Street.
Battery Street. Okay, let's play some more National Debt.
Left to identify tonight.
Live from Pedro Show. We heard a Hey Art Blakey by National Day. And then School Buses Are for Children by Grant Hart. Something new from Grant. Grant was a drummer for Husker Du, old friend of mine. And then something live from Husker Du. What's Going On? And I got to hear the story of Art Blakey and old Uncle Bill.
Yeah, cool. Mr. Fun.
And he's proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no shame.
He heard it. It wasn't a secret.
There's no taint.
No taint.
No self-soil.
Your shoes are having a party, tell your panties to come on down. That was one of Bill's greatest sayings, so long as fart and don't, why fart and waste it when you can burp and taste it?
What was that music? There's a Bowie song. We're gonna have a party. Oh, god damn. I don't know, but you know when you're riding in the boat a long time on tour and start getting creative with the words. What was that? It's some early period of his thing. Anyway, Tom, my Missing Man guitarist, worked out a version where Bowie's pants are coming down and we're going to have a party.
That probably happened.
As long as his teeth stay home.
Yeah. Look, I want to thank you guys for coming aboard. Truly.
Yeah. Well, mahalo.
James, Joe, Sal, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
We got to have you do a Funny Man thing.
Oh, I have bits on CD. We can pop some in later.
Oh, okay. But some like live thing. Maybe that's the next step.
Yeah, I haven't had any comedy
yet. To a collaborate. Yeah, we've never had Brother Matt do a spin cycle with the...
With comedy? Yeah. But it helps if you have a crowd full of drunk people in the room.
Joe? That could be a radio.
Yeah, actually.
I'll be the wrong person. Yeah, okay.
I'm busy next Saturday, but I'm free the Saturday after that. Yeah.
No, I'm going to be on tour, but I'll be back. I got to go to the Hall Lane, right from Seattle. So I'll be back on the 16th. Mm. And a couple weeks here, and then I start touring with the Stooges. But again, thanks you guys for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't have to do gigs to do music. This is proof. So all you folks, man, let your freak flag fly. Brother Matt, thank you for...
certainly, definitely.
Essential aid in a betting. It's been February 28, 2010, Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.